Boston Springs Primitive Baptist Church, Kentucky. I hope you'll pray for him. Lord bless him.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for your friendship and your hospitality and your love. And I love you. Please pray. I'd like to talk to you this morning if the Lord would bless us. About what perhaps is the New Testament summed up in two words, and one of them is not even a word. Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship. Just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was very blessed to attend a conference on men's leadership. The first session was on marriage. Since it's a men's conference, it was on husbands. The young man got up and started with a question. How many of you in here have been married over 33 years? I thought that's a strange number, but I proudly raised my hand. And the old man on my left, he raised his hand. And the old man on my right, he raised his hand. And he said, congratulations. You've been married longer than I've been alive. I recognized the significance of the odd number 33 at that point. But he went on and said, I obviously can't teach you men through experience. And I don't claim to teach through success, but I want to teach you through God's word about leadership and the position of being a husband. And of course, he went to Ephesians chapter 5. That beautiful, most beautiful passage, but a very difficult and convicting passage, where it says such things as Ephesians 5, let's just read. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Wow. What a challenge. That I need to treat Christy like Christ treated the church. He gave himself for her. And we can imagine the heroics of shoving her out in front of the train and or taking the bullet. And oh my goodness, that might be the easy part. It's that every day. Has Christ just done that for you? Yes, he's done it. I don't want to diminish the cross at all. We're to preach the cross. But he's the one who never leaves me nor forsakes me. He's always there for me. His hands are out. His arms are reaching. I can come to him in my time of need and know he's there. That I'm weak and he's my strength. When the message was over, I went to the young man. I said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to open the back door and I'm going to start saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm going to try to do better. I'm sorry, Christy's not going to have any idea what I'm talking about. But he did bring me to sorrow, to recognition, to conviction, to try to do better. I promised her I'd going to do better. I think we have a good marriage, but it's not as good as it could be. If I was a better leader, if I took the initiative, if I recognized it's my responsibility to make her live right. That's what Christ included here, the Holy Spirit included that he washed us and cleansed us and made us. You mean I'm supposed to be doing that for my wife? I'm to live in such a Christ-like way that it would tend to cleanse her and purify her and make her what she ought to be by me being what I ought to be. I think that's what's included there. Wow. That I'd be the leader in the home to that point that if she errs, it's because I blew it somewhere and didn't treat her the way she should have been treated. If I was treating her all the time like Christ treats me, it'd be hard to argue with a fellow treating you like that, now, wouldn't it? It's hard to be mad at Jesus when you think about him dying for you and living for you and doing everything for you. And if I was treating her that way, there'd never be a crossword. And that falls back to me as the leader. Wow. And then, of course, there was the session on Father. It was two intense days. After husbands comes fathers, and fathers, provoke not your children to anger and wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And go to Deuteronomy and find where it's our responsibility to have the word in our heart and to shine and forth in our family and to bring up those boys and girls in such a way that they know God's word and love God and an example set before them by dad. And oh my goodness, my son taught me a lot of things when I learned to listen to him and quit preaching to him and started listening a little bit. He's got a different side of the brain than I had, but we've all got both sides of the brain, just tend to go one way or the other. And I was always pretty intellectual and fact, and he saw beauty that I never saw. He's more the artist and the musician. He taught me to appreciate songs. He'd say, Dad, have you ever listened to the word? You grew up in the greatest era. And I know there's a lot of problems in the 60s music. But there's a lot of stuff there. And a lot of the stuff there is worth listening to if you learn to listen. They understood the futility of life. They didn't have the answers. But they could express the problems. But my point right now is not futility. My point's dads. And there's the song that I think it was the Temptations. And I know I'm supposed to be preaching King James Bible, but we're preaching 60s music now and 70s music. And the old song was, Mama, I'm depending on you to tell me the truth. And she hung her head and said, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was alone. They'd been alone. If you listen to the song, they never had a dad, those boys and girls. That's one extreme. The father that abandons. And you can abandon your kids with living in the house every night. Dads, if you spend too much time, in your pastimes and not any time with those kids that are going to be gone so quick. So you can be that rolling stone and sleep in the same house with them every night. It's the time you spend with them. Now you can be that rolling stone and run off and leave them all. All you leave them was alone, but you can leave them alone and be with them at supper time and still not be with them, and they know you're with them. Well, there's the other extreme of the guy that wants everything for his kids that maybe he never had. And some of you may be ahead of me here and thinking about the song. And it's the old cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. You know, if you got the silver spoon, you got everything. And that, as I understand, that cats in the cradle, that's somebody that's in security. And you're giving your kids everything they need except for you. Child arrived just the other day, came into the world in the usual way. There were planes to catch and bills to pay. And he learned to walk while I was away. Missing his boy growing up. And all through the song, there's that thought, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when. But we'll get together then, Dad. We'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then. That boy did grow up just like his dad. The song goes on, but leadership in the home. Leadership in the church. Leadership in the church. That we would rule in the house of God, and we'd be overseers and have the oversight of God's flock and the responsibility of leaders in the church. Time's getting away so quick. Leadership in the community. That we not hide behind closed doors, but that there's a world out there that's dark. And if we have light, I've heard it come into the sunlight that's been in this building this weekend, though the rain was outside, and so much sunlight, and the truth of God's word, and so much darkness in God's world out there. Christian leadership in the community, how do you do it? We got to quit being afraid of other people, that they might rub off on us. And we need to be rubbing off on somebody, perhaps. There's hungry people all around you. In our little community, without a stoplight, we have a group, and it was people from different churches that have come together. And I don't say this proudly. I kind of got drafted. I'm the president of a corporation in Dawson Springs, Kentucky, that operates a food bank and gives help to poor people. It required cooperation with people that don't exactly believe the way I believe in a lot of ways, but they're Christians. And I've learned from them. And together, we're making a difference. Maybe, at least to that one. You may not approve. Tomorrow morning, I'm to speak at a community sunrise service. Oh my goodness, with those dreadful people that don't believe the truth, I believe everybody's going to be there. Worships the Jesus that's resurrected. They may seem a little different. We've got to not be so hard-nosed, not be such hard shells, and we are. We got to realize that people that are different with us are okay too. And we can come to such distinct lines among people we are so close to, but you try beating your head against the wall in China, and then you have a Christian girl about 18 years old on a college campus come running to you. Are you Christian? Are you Christian? Yes, I'm Christian. And by the time she got to me, she had her arms out and she said, I'm Catholic. I love Jesus Christ. And I said, I'm Primitive Baptist. I bet she knew a lot about that. I'm Primitive Baptist and I love that same Jesus Christ. When you get to where that you're trying to deal with people that are setting food out at night to keep their ancestors from coming back and haunting them, and you tell them the story of Jesus Christ and they just kind of laugh at that, and then you find somebody in that culture that loves Jesus Christ, it'll break your hard shell. And it'll start making you understand there's more to Christianity than the truth. The truth is central, the truth is core, but the words of Christ without the ways of Christ are not Christianity. Amen. The ways of Christ was to go to people unlike Christ and to have compassion in the communities in which we dwell. Leadership in the church, leadership in the communities, leadership in government. Oh, we're to pray, and we do, and we should, and we must. And we're to recognize that the king's hands are in the Lord's heart. King's hearts are in the Lord's hands. But we're also to recognize that from this position right here, we can change the world. God told Jeremiah when he called him to preach something of this nature, he said, I'm going to give you what it's going to take, and you're going to break down nations, and you're going to destroy, and you're going to plant, and you're going to build. The story goes, in the forming of this country, when there was much division, but trying to unite, that in Virginia, the statement was made, wherever John Leland goes, that's where the people will go. Whichever way he leans, that's the way of the people. Who was John Leland? Baptist preacher. We can influence the world, the governments, from this spot right here, with God empowering the message of the gospel to change lives, to change people from the smallest to the greatest. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. That we might affect our culture to the point that our people would change our leaders when they began to demand something different from what they're hearing right here from this place. Little places like this all over this country. Oh my goodness gracious. All we've talked about is leadership. And I said we was going to talk about Christian fellowship. This thought started with my harebrained sense of humor and trying to be cute. So I got home, and I, next two or three days after this conference, I emailed the young man and told him that I had come home and attempted to rigorously implement the leadership, newly found leadership skills on my wife, Christy. I had a smiley face or two in this thing, you know. I said, something's not working. I said, I think I need to enroll my dear wife in your next fellowship conference. Now, I preached this at home a couple of weeks ago, and somewhere in that next week, Christy said to me, not only are you not going to get fellowship, if you don't shape up, you're not going to get any fellowship. But my point is, there can't be leadership without fellowship. There can't be teaching without learning. You can speak, but if nobody learns, you haven't taught. You can lead, but if nobody follows, it's not working. There's got to be fellowship with the leadership. And we go back to the same places where we could present to you husbands and wives or children and dads or community or church. And we find in the same passage where husbands, you know where that passage really starts? Two verses above when it says, submit yourselves one to the other. There's a submitting that dad needs to do that the husband needs to do along the way. There's sometimes it's all right to say, guys, you don't have to be tough all the time. You can say yes, ma'am, and that's okay. Sometimes that's the right thing to say. For the moment, it might be the perfect thing to say. It's okay to submit to her. The Bible gives you that permission. But then the next verse is, wives submitting yourselves unto the husbands. There's a pattern that God teaches. But there's submission on both sides of that relationship. There's got to be if it's going to work. Amen. We're not the boss. We're to lead in the paths of the Lord. In the home, in the kids. And old Joshua had the right idea. He looked around at the whole nation, but I bet his boys were there, and those are grown boys by now. Joshua's an old man. I think he's still speaking for his boys and girls and their kids and maybe great-grandkids. He says to everybody, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'll bet his boys, whoever they were, I bet they was in the mood to follow that dad about that time, wasn't he? Look at dad up there in front of all of them, declaring the Lord to them. And what a declaration from a dad to the whole people. We're going to follow. I can just almost visualize. I have such an imagination that goes too far sometimes. I can almost figure those boys coming out of the crowd and coming up there and putting their hands around dad and unite this family, dad, you always have. What a legacy to leave behind. It's in his last days. And he declares, my family's going to follow. Maybe all of you are going to go some other way, but my family's going to stand with me. That's the confidence of a dad who's been a dad. He wasn't a rolling stone. He wasn't interested in a silver spoon. He raised his house to be followers of Jesus Christ. We could speak of the pastor and we could speak of the community. A church that follows. That church at Thessalonica that was spoken of by Brother Griffiths last night so beautifully. You know what that church was in the beginning of that relationship they had with Paul? They were the inferior church of the province. The Bereans were more notable than them because they studied and they thought it was important to read God's word. Evidence that the Second Thessalonians didn't much care for that part. The church at Philippi in the same province, they'd supported Paul multiple times, but he makes them note that Thessalonica didn't send me anything. They started out as the lesser church, but they followed the Lord. And they became the church in that whole province that was the example to all the churches in Macedonia and Achaia. In two states there, that church was the leader because they had followed the Lord and they became the leader of God's churches in that area because they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and in faith they left everything else. They quit following their idols and they started following the Lord, and in their following of the Lord, they became the leaders. That's Christianity. In the following of the husband, the wife becomes the leader, 1 Peter chapter 3. Let your chaste conduct, wives, be that which would finally convert your old hard-headed husband to Christianity. That's not of King James, but that's what it's saying. That if you'll finally serve the Lord long enough, you'll maybe get through his thick head and into his hard heart, and you could turn him around, girls. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that wonderful? That you could change your husband. That you could change the world. Jesus said, follow me. After the best night fishing they'd ever had, or the best morning fishing after the night that wasn't any good, they had two boatloads of fish, and they left every bit of that, and they followed Jesus. And they followed him pretty good for a pretty good while there, a few months perhaps, a year or two. They's in and out, back and forth. Then after they saw resurrection and Pentecost, there wasn't much in and out and back and forth from that point on. They were changed men. They were changed men that turned the world upside down through God's power working in them. How did they change the world? By following Jesus Christ. You have to be a follower to be a leader in Christianity. You don't set your goal to be the leader and God prosper that. You set your goal to be the follower of Jesus Christ, and then God will prosper you in his name and for his cause to lead others to him. Whether that be your wife, your husband, your children, your church, your community, your government, your world that you live in. By following Jesus Christ. What a paradox is Christianity. You don't get ahead in this world by getting behind, do you? Well, you get behind Jesus and you're going to get ahead if your goal is to lead people to Jesus. If you want to be a true leader, then you be a true follower. And they'll follow you as you follow the Lord. It may take a little time for that old hard-hearted husband. It may take a little time in that community in which you live. But by your chaste conversation, by the lifestyle that you experience, when the Lord finally visits them, 1 Peter chapter 2, when he comes to them, they're going to remember. They will have beheld your good works, and they're going to come to you at that point and say, who is this Jesus? What's it all about? Who is this one you follow? I want to get on board and follow too. You know how you get people to follow with you? You don't overcome evil with evil. You overcome evil with good. You get people to follow Jesus by doing the craziest things in this world, the most outlandish things, like turning the other cheek and answering not a word and walking away from a fight and finding somebody poor and caring. Back where I come from, suicides are rampant. I've lost track of the number of suicide funerals I've preached. People need friends in this world. God bless your heart. People need somebody that cares. All you got to do is care long enough and somebody's going to follow. God's plan is that way, I do believe. God has said it'll work. Do we believe him or just believe in him? do we really want to follow or do it my way? You got to lead by following. Christianity, summed up in two words, Christian fellowship. God bless you.